We're going to do something a little bit different tonight. We're going to have a brief Bible study, and then we're going to pray a little bit as a church. You know, some churches, in the old-time churches, the midweek service was prayer meeting. And it was everybody got together, and we read a little bit of the Bible and sing a couple songs, and then the church would pray together. And so we're going to pray a little bit together, but we're going to look at some verses. By the way, you say, well, I don't really have any major problems in my life. And you don't need to turn there tonight, but Zechariah, I think it's chapter 10, verse 1, it says, pray for rain during the latter rain. You say, what does that mean? The latter rain, I believe, is like the spring rain that you need for your crops. Don't pray just when there's a drought, okay? You might want to pray while everything's okay so there's not a drought. And so we're going to spend a little time in prayer tonight, but look at Acts chapter 1. Why don't we go ahead and stand together? We'll stretch a little bit, and then we will read, and then we'll get into the lesson. And then the staff up here, they're going to pray on the platform up here, and we'll in just a little bit. If you want to get on your knees, it's fine. If you want to sit down, it's fine. If you want to stand, it's fine. But we'll pray together as a church. And that's the title of the lesson tonight, Praying Together in the New Testament Church. And look at Acts chapter 1. We're first going to see that God's people were praying right after Jesus ascended and just before many people were saved at Pentecost. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both at the same time or simultaneously in Jerusalem. And we try to do this. We really try with God's guidance and God's power as he admonishes us. We try to be, excuse me, witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken, verse 9, these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the an upper room. Most likely that was the upper room where they had the Last Supper. In an upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simeon, and Judas, the brother of James. So the 11 disciples that were left. Verse 14, what did they do? And they all continued with one accord. So this wasn't just a few minutes. They continued with one accord. There was unity there in prayer. In what class? So you have these folks, and we're going to see there were some other people there too. So you have this. You had these Jesus' 12 disciples, and they continued in prayer and supplication with the women. Now, we have men's prayer. We have some ladies' prayer, but this was basically a church prayer meeting. Their disciples were there. There were women there, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. I believe this is the last time Mary is mentioned for us former Catholics. I'm sorry about that. I don't think she's mentioned anymore. The mother of Jesus and with his brethren. And, you know, we're not going to talk about it, but Jesus had brethren. That means probably Mary isn't who our Catholic friends say she is. But so you had the disciples, and then you had ladies, and then you had Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. Jesus' brothers were there. Verse number 15, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Let's pray together. Father, help us as just a church. We're starting off a new season, fall season for families. There's a lot of families. Their children just started school. Then there's college, Bible college students. There's college students here. They just started college, and we're in a new season. And then we're going to enter a seed sowing season, Lord, where we're going to do a lot of soul winning. And Lord, we know that some sow and some water, but we know, Lord, you give the increase. And tonight, we're just recognizing that. We're going to spend a little time in prayer that you give the increase in our families, and you give the increase in our ministries, and you give the increase in everything that we do. And we want to recognize that by getting on our knees and praying and just seeking you and having petitions and bringing requests before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Look at number one, if you would. Number one, we see that God's people in your outline, God's people were praying together right after Jesus ascended and just before many were saved at Pentecost, but they were praying together. Now, I've shared this before, but about 30 years ago, I'm a little bit of an independent person. How many independent people out there? We all should be independent. You know, I guess we're sort of stubborn. Just sort of, we don't need anybody. You know, just me and Jesus. You know, Jesus and me song. That's all I need is God. I prayed. And by the way, I went to prayer meeting. We had every I think it was Tuesday, we had a prayer meeting right after our church ed class when I was in Bible college. And then on Saturday morning, we had a 6:30 a.m. prayer meeting, and I went to that, and we prayed together. And then Saturday night after we went soul winning and visiting all day, it was sometimes 8 o'clock at night, sometimes it was 9 o'clock at night, we had a prayer meeting. But be quite frank with you, I didn't really get the thing about praying together. You know, I as Nick was singing, I had my quiet time, and prayed and I'd thank the Lord and praise the Lord and I had different places. I'd pray. When I went to Bible college, there was a vacuum closet and I'd go in the closet and pray. One late night I was praying and some girl went to get the vacuum. Ah! She screamed. But I never forget this. We see there in verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer. And so this group, it was a group of people, they're praying together, okay? And one of our teachers came to Bible, in a class, and he said, he preached in chapel on united prayer. And he sort of gave a little spill that I just gave. Yeah, independent and pray and blah, blah, blah. But he said, I didn't know the real value of, you know, Jesus is when the two are together, gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst. And he shared, and by the way, I knew this teacher well, and he shared, he said, I want to travel with my wife, and actually, he traveled almost every weekend. He taught during the week, and then he'd travel and preach, and he'd fly a lot. Actually, I flew with him before, and I traveled with him. I drove with him sometimes when he'd preach. I was actually got pretty close to that teacher. And he said he wanted to travel with his wife. He had a pretty big family, and he just really was a real family man. He said they had this little I don't know, Toyota Corolla or something. It was just too small for all of them to travel. And he said also wasn't really very comfortable for his wife. His wife had a bad back. And he said, him and his wife, they looked at these verses in the Bible, and we'll look at a couple here, where God's people got together to pray together. And by the way, God's people can be mom and dad. You're God's people, and the whole family, they're God's people. Could be some high schoolers. But he said, we've been praying for a van specifically for a van, and he said, we didn't get one, and, you know, we're praying in God's will, and hopefully we get you know, God would answer prayer, and he didn't. And then he came across this truth. It's always been there. He taught the Bible. He's a very good Bible teacher about united prayer and people just getting together and praying. And so he went to Brother Zachary, Mrs. Zachary. Some of you know Brother Zachary. Brother Zachary, Mrs. Zachary. Actually, Mrs. Zachary, he was pretty close to the Zacharys. And a couple of other people at the college and said, listen, I just, you know, the Bible says we should pray together. And you know, by the way, there's different reasons we won't go into it. Sometimes it's just humbling ourselves. You know, Brother Panay, pray for me. You know, I'm just having a rough time. And you know, sometimes we're, oh, you know, I don't need anybody to pray for me. You know, everything's going okay. Everything's never going okay all the time for everybody. Okay, so sometimes it's just a humbling thing, and God humbles us. And so he got Brother Zachary, Mrs. Zachary, a few others at the college and said, would you pray for me about getting this van? And they said, sure. And they start praying. And he went to Des Moines, Iowa to preach. And while he was preaching, actually, I've been in the church. Brother Myers and I have been in the church in Iowa before. He was preaching in the church. And he said, and by the way, we don't believe in the prosperity doctrine, okay? We do believe that God can do anything. But we don't believe in, you know, hey, God wants everybody to be rich. Go tell that to all the poor people just south of the border. Go tell that to all the poor people in all these different countries that love God. They're better Christians than the bunch of us. A lot of them are. They don't have much, but they do have much because they have Jesus. But he said he was praying for this van so that him and his family can travel around and so that he can preach. And so after the service, a man came up to him and he said, I need to talk to you. And he said, what is it? He just preached. By the way, I don't think he knew who the man was. And the preacher, who was one of my college teachers, did not announce, you know, hey, I'm praying for a van. But the man said, do you need a van? He said, what are you talking about? He said, this is weird, but I think God wants me to buy you a van. And immediately what he did, he said, you need to go talk to your pastor. Okay? You know, don't come in and fleece someone else's flock. You know. Brother Treber says a lot of people go to North Valley and become really good friends with Christina Martinez. Yeah. Here's some prayer requests. She needs bodyguards around her. But he said, I think God wants me to buy you a van. And by the way, he said this, a brand new van. Okay? This guy didn't even know him. And to make a long story short, this man that he didn't share his prayer request. This man bought our teacher a brand. By the way, I drove the van. This isn't one of those stories that you see on TV. Yeah, right. I drove the brand new van. And he bought him a brand new full-size van. Took him to the local. And he said it was this, just not that he put it on his list, but it was the right size and the everything that he wanted. And that, at that time, it woke me up to say, you know what? Maybe I can pray with some people about different things. By the way, men, this isn't to put you on a guilt trip, but if you're at home watching Gilligan's Island at 5 o'clock on Saturday night, and you live right down the street, you might want to come over here and put a prayer request on the prayer board while the men are praying together. Okay? We do pray. And by the way, bring your sons. Bring your sons. It's an exciting thing to have the fathers and the sons come and pray together. Together. Okay, look at number two real quickly because we want to have a few minutes to pray here tonight. Number two, God's people prayed together after many were saved. Look at Acts chapter 2, 41. By the way, I would encourage you as families, pray together. Pray together at home. Okay, have a time, whether you do it once a week or twice a week or three times, get the whole family, you know, whoever's home, Get on your knees and pray together. Pray together as a family. Pray together in ministry and so forth. Acts 2, and we're very familiar with these portions of Scripture, but look at verse 41. Then they that gladly, Acts 2:41, received his word, were baptized. So these were people that were saved and baptized. And the same day, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer and in prayers. In what class? By the way, we do well, pretty well, at the apostles' doctrine, teaching the Bible. Fellowship, we do well at that. Sometimes what we think is fellowship is not really fellowship. But apostle doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread. But the fourth one there, we don't do as well at, but they were continued steadfastly in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that were believed together, all that believed were together, and all had things and had all things in common. Look over to Acts chapter 12, please. Number 3 in your outline. So we saw number 1, God's people were praying together right after Jesus ascended, before many were saved. And then we see number 2, God's people prayed together after many people were saved, okay? And they're just praying together all the time. Then number 3, and by the way, there were no problems here. You know, they were waiting for the promise that Jesus said. And then people got saved, and then afterwards they prayed. And now they do have a problem. So part of the point is here, let's not just pray when there's a problem. Let's pray before a problem. And then that's okay, we'll pray during the problem, but then let's pray after the problem. And then let's thank God. By the way, tomorrow I preach in chapel, and I'm going to open up, and Brother Joseph, I'm going to show that clip you showed me, you sent me. So some guy, he's got no arms. He's born with no arms, and he drives a car. Okay. Then there's a guy with no arms and legs. He's got a little foot like this, and he's speaking to a bunch of people, and he says, "You know what? I need to work at is being grateful." I'm thinking, this guy has no legs. He has, and by the way, super great spirit. Super great spirit. You know what the point is? Let's pray, let's praise, and let's be thankful. Let's look here at Acts chapter 12 and look at verse number 1. Of course, I explained to someone this past week, "Oh, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, man. All kinds of bad things are happening." I said, "You know what? Just because bad things are happening doesn't mean you're doing things wrong." Now, always, you know, ask God to search your heart, but sometimes it means you're doing things right. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. "Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." We know the story. "Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison." Peter, he's just, you know, trying to do what a lot of politicians do, just make the people happy. "When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the 4 quarterings of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Now look at verse 5. "But therefore was kept in prison..." But, can everybody say prayer? "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him." So the church got together to pray for Peter. Look down to verse 12. By the way, God, verse 7 to 11, God, through the prayers of God's people, released Peter out of prison. Most of us are familiar with the story. And now he's out of prison, verse 12. "And when he had considered the thing," he's out of prison, he's sort of like, wow, what happened? "He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many," how many class? How many? Many. There were a bunch of people were gathered together praying. "And as Peter knocked," he's knocking at the praying. By the way, God already answered their prayer. "And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate." You know, this girl, She's a blonde. Ah, Peter! And she forgot to open the door. You know, she looked through the peephole and, ah! She runs over to go tell everybody, Peter's over there. That's what happened. Peter knocked, and verse 14, and when she knew it was Peter's voice, she opened not the door for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And verse number 15, and they said unto her, thou art mad, you're a crazy lady. By the way, that encourages me, because sometimes when I pray and the prayer's answered, someone tells me, and they go, no, it didn't. I'm always surprised. You say, oh, well, you know, when I pray, I know God's going to answer. Yeah, right. Okay. I think all of us are like a little surprised when our prayers get answered. That's where they are. They said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. They're trying to now justify how their prayers aren't being answered. It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. Can you hear this? Picture that. He's pounding at the door. Rhoda, you know, the blonde-headed lady that forgot to open the door. Ah, she's Peter. And, you know, he's pounding, and they're going, ah, he's not there. It's an angel. He continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Man, I don't know about you, but I'd like to have those people praying for me. Let's look on now. Look at number 4. Tonight, there are many here, as there were many there, and we can pray together, in number 4, in a time of need. Now, look at letter A, our families. And I'm going to pray in just a minute for our families. And by the way, you can pray right where you are. Letter B, our school. Brother Beck is going to pray for our school. You say, well, is there a problem? No, we're not to Acts chapter 12 yet. We're in Acts chapter 1 and 2. Maybe we can prevent Acts chapter 12. Okay, let's pray for rain during the latter rain. You know, we don't want to have to call a prayer meeting, you know, because who knows? Letter C, our Bible college. I asked Brother Myers if he can pray, but he's in discipleship. So my son Joseph, he works closely with the Bible college, and we'll ask him to pray. By the way, all these are good. Brother Pineda, and we're going to ask him to pray a little bit for the music. Music is a great tool to be used for the Lord. Brother Ross will pray for our youth. And then I'll pray a little bit for our soul winning. Let's look at the next. Or let's see. The little bullet says there that God would give the increase. And look at the next page there. I don't know if you have another page. Fall soul winning times to pray. We want to pray. There's got a lot of people that are going out. There's probably this Saturday. I don't know. Maybe a couple hundred people will be going out. Tuesday nights, 200-300 people will be going out soul winning now. And so let's pray that God would give increase in Long Beach and Maywood and Rosemead. Number 2, that's Saturdays, Tuesdays, 7 o'clock, the entire month. We have the Spanish and the English and the Maywood and Chinese and all the different groups. Filipino people and the Cambodian people. Number 3, Wednesday, 11 a.m., the entire month of October. The college will go out. And then Wednesdays, the Maywood teens will go out. And then Thursdays, starting September 19th, I think it is, teenagers go out about 4 o'clock with Brother Ross, soul winning. Let's pray. Then Maywood, Rosemead, Laos, pray for them. By the way, pray for Stanton. Brother Pritchard is going to start a church in Stanton. Okay? Stanton, right there in Orange County. Laos. How to win souls and plant churches in the communist country. Cambodia, indigenous Baptist churches. Thailand, help. They're planting churches. China, God's clarity if he would have us to do that. And then pray for our building and pray for Unspoken. Pray for Manny Ramirez. He's in the hospital right now. Pray for Maggie Ortiz. She's in the hospital also. By the way, I got it just before I came to church. I got a prayer request from Brother Mike West, an offensive prayer. He said, he's so excited, Brother Jeremy Fancher. Their church is on fire. They're looking at possibly starting a Spanish ministry. And so if we can remember to pray for them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start. Why don't we all bow our heads? We're going to pray